WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning, happy Thursday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. Another damp and foggy morning, but it won't last too long. So just, you know, wear a jacket, although it seems warmer than it is. You know, the temperature is coming in at 67 degrees, but it feels warmer than that. Definitely muggy out there. So we're still getting some semblance of summer, I guess, even though it's turned into fall. But we have a lot that we can discuss this morning. Of course, it is Thursday, and during the Gen X Files, we will have our brain freeze question of the week. We've altered the prize a little bit, but we'll still have the chance for you to win some ice cream from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. We also still have our contests ongoing to win Cape Air passes, which you can enter at WBSM.com and the WBSM app. The same place where you can also enter to try to win tickets to see the B-52s and Devo at Xfinity Center. The same place where you can also enter all of your Money Talks cash codes that'll start at 8 a.m. 10 new codes today for a chance to win $1,000. So we'll have more information on all of those throughout the course of the morning. It's also National One-Hit Wonder Day. And normally, I don't get excited about these national days, as I've told you before. To me, it's just kind of a contrived thing. But in this case, we will celebrate and observe National One-Hit Wonder Day, and we'll play some one-hit wonders throughout the course of the morning. And of course, we'll take your phone calls, 508-996-0500. Your app chat messages and your open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We have a lot we're going to talk about this morning regarding the New Bedford Police Department. Because I briefly mentioned yesterday that the police union had put up a Facebook post lamenting the fact that the division commander position at the North End Station had not been filled in the 3 months since the previous division commander had retired. And that the union was calling on the mayor to fill that position. The city, through spokesperson Jonathan Darling, gave me a statement saying that that's basically they're just, you know, using that as a bargaining tool because they're in contract negotiations. Many of the city councilors, including the councilors whose wards are covered by that station, have spoken out in support of the union, which is, you know, not a surprise. They know that the union vote is important for them here on the eve of an election. But they are making, in my opinion, good points. The biggest point of which is the South End Station has a division commander. They have a captain down there serving as the leader of that station. Why doesn't the North End get the same? And so we can explore that. You can read all of the comments at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Some were statements that were given to us. Some were Facebook posts, you know, because it had been a couple of days since the post went up. So if a counselor had commented, I added it into the story. And if any counselors did comment on it and I didn't put them in the story, Forgive me. I looked at your Facebook page. I looked at both your personal and your campaign page, if I had access to both. And if I didn't put it in there, I didn't see anything. But I think that, you know, I'm going to just guess that the council is pretty united in this. Now, I don't know if that means, you know, anything can happen because the council doesn't have the authority to appoint someone into that position. As we've been talking about, the mayor is the head of the police department. But according to the police union, the police chief, Jason Thody, agrees with them that there should be a division commander there. So we can discuss that more. 508-996-0500. Also yesterday, the police department put out on its official Facebook page, not the union, but the department, put out on its Facebook page a clarification of the role that it plays in federal immigration enforcement operations. So they put out an FAQ, hopefully authorized this time, but they put out an FAQ about, and that's frequently asked questions for those that don't know, about what the police department's role is in immigration enforcement. And we're going to go through that this morning. I don't know that I will read it all verbatim. There's about a dozen questions and answers, but we'll definitely hit on some of those points. And you can read it yourself at newbedfordpd.com or through the New Bedford Police Department Facebook page. But I do want to discuss a number of those just to further emphasize the clarification. Not to say, you know, rightly or wrongly, because I think this is all what they can do under the law and what they're required to do under the law. And I don't care how you feel about immigration one way or the other. When it comes to the police department, they're already dealing with limited resources and limited staffing. I don't want them doing the job of another agency when they need to put all of their focus on their job, their role. The federal government has far more resources than the city of New Bedford Police Department has. So let them handle it. The same way, you know, I guess I can kind of make somewhat of an analogy. You know, Mark Levin is coming from the network. He's syndicated every night. And yes, he's part of our broadcast and he's part of what we do here, but I'm not going to get involved in what they do with that show. I've got enough to handle with what goes on here. I don't need to be involved in the Mark Levin stuff. If they send down an edict and say, we need you to do this, 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 and this to help us out, we need you to put in these new commercials, we need you to put in these new bumpers and imaging and all that, yes, fine, I will do that. That's my role in that relationship. But I have limited resources here to start worrying about helping Mark Levin put on his show. And it's the same with the New Bedford Police Department. You know, there's a reason why this authority is given to the federal government and not local law enforcement. And so, therefore, it's their responsibility. But that doesn't mean that the New Bedford Police Department doesn't have a role that they need to play in that. And we'll get into some of that. And then also, I don't know, I think the overnight television ratings usually come in around 10 a.m., 11 a.m. Eastern time. I haven't paid attention to overnights in a while, not since the show that I was on, Hotel Paranormal, was on. So that was 2021, 2. So it's been a few years since I paid attention to the overnight ratings. But they usually, I think it's Showbiz something or other that I used to go to that would release them. So I don't know how Jimmy Kimmel's numbers were last night compared to on Tuesday night, but Tuesday night it was about three times his audience. And if you heard the ABC News, they mentioned how Nexstar is at the table discussing with ABC about carrying the show again and the concerns that it has and wants to see if those are going to be alleviated. And, you know, this isn't the television of the 1980s when the affiliates had the power because they were the only way of delivering the content. So back in those days, if there was a dispute between the network and the affiliates almost had almost all the power, because if they decided not to carry the show, the network gets no broadcast revenue. The advertisers would say, well, we're not running in, you know, the 10 of the major markets. Forget it. We're pulling our advertising and pulling our dollars. Because why would you spend money to run a commercial that nobody's going to see? So the affiliates had the power back in those days. Now, the programming can get delivered without the affiliates through streaming, through online, through But you can still get the information out there, programming out there, rather, without having to rely on the affiliates, which is what happened in those cities that didn't broadcast Jimmy Kimmel the last couple of nights. So not only does the network say, well, we don't really need you, the network isn't ABC anymore. The network is ABC owned by Disney, which has significantly more financial leverage. If Disney was that concerned, and one show isn't going to trigger this, but if Disney was that concerned about this affiliate group and whether or not it's going to make trouble in broadcasting the network's programming, Disney could just buy the entire company. And I know people like to point at Disney and say, look, they're going broke because they went, well, Disney still got more money than any of these affiliates would ever have. And they could buy them out if they wanted to. They could say, all right, you don't want to run our programming? Here's a deal. Here's an offer. But the other part of it, too, is the network has the power of what it is that people do want to show. Because, again, it's not just, you know, do you want to run Jimmy Kimmel? Do you want to run whatever sitcoms they have on ABC now or dramas or whatever? It now can become, and I heard Bakari Sellers mention this on CNN last night, they could say, you don't want to run Jimmy Kimmel? Well, we're not going to send you Monday Night Football. And that is a major revenue generator for the affiliates that sell spots on the local level during that broadcast, because it's one of the few things people still tune in to watch on television. Granted, it's on ESPN, so you don't get it on as many of the affiliates, but that's how you watch it if you don't have ESPN. So I think those Nexstar affiliates are going to cede to the network on this and start running the programming relatively soon. Now, it might all be futile because when Jimmy Kimmel's contract is up next spring, the network might just choose not to renew it. But we'll see where it goes. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Got to get my first break of the day in. We will be right back.
They are our love bugs and companions. They are our pets, our family, and they make life better. When we face unexpected challenges, so do our pets. That's why we're on a mission to support people and their pets. Whether donating a bag of kibble, sharing an Instagram post of a lost cat, or welcoming a foster pet into your home, every bit of kindness counts. Visit petsandpeopletogether.org to learn how to be a helper in your community. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
You're waiting. Waking Up with the Tim Weisberg Show. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app.
And it is a one-hit wonder day, so we're going to be spinning some one-hit wonders coming back from the breaks. And our brain freeze question of the week, which will come up during the Gen X Files in the next hour, will be one-hit wonder related. So it's a bit of a theme show today, although the conversation can be about whatever, at least in terms of the music, it's a theme show. And speaking of themes, one of the discussions that I was having this week with somebody, and we've talked about it here on the air, was the lack of television theme songs these days. And I think we've had a fun Friday question about that before, but I'm going to check the records and see. And if we didn't, I was thinking maybe that could be our fun Friday question tomorrow. What's the best TV theme song of all time? I think we did that one before, though. But if not, we'll do it. If we have, I'll come up with something else. Also, later on today, we're going to be joined by Thomas from Heavenly Spirits, who will talk to us about some of the things you can expect to taste tomorrow at the big fall favorites tasting at Stevie's Wine and Spirits. It's happening tomorrow from 4 to 6. We'll have more details and discussion on that coming up. Right now, though, let's go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
Two dead, one injured in a shooting at an ICE facility in Texas. Exercise may reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, and coffee prices are on the rise.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least two detainees are dead and one in critical condition after a shooter opened fire on a Dallas ICE facility. ICE Deputy Director Madison Sheehan said the shooter targeted the entire building.
What we do know so far is that this shooter was firing indiscriminately throughout the whole building. And so this shooter was at a building nearby and shooting directly into the building, going across the entire length of the building.
The shooter has reportedly been identified as 29-year-old Joshua Jean. He was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at a nearby apartment building. The FBI is investigating the shooting as a part of a targeted violence. FBI Director Kash Patel posted a picture on X of shell casings engraved with the phrase anti-ICE that were found at the scene. No ICE agents were injured in part of that shooting. There's been a huge rise in dangerous types of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. The CDC says between 2019 and 2023, certain infections rose by more than 460% in the United States. That includes pneumonia, bloodstream infections, urinary tract infections, and wound infections. The CDC says they are hard to treat and can be deadly. Officials say that certain bacteria is resistant to some of the strongest antibiotics available. And the CDC says that they're studying the reason for the surge. Coffee prices up on the rise, up 20% this time from last year. Rob Pearson is a director of coffee at Windmill Coffee Roasters, and he spoke about the increase.
The tricky part with coffee prices right now is that the tariffs are increasing an already unstable pricing market. Last year, Brazil, who produces over 60% of the coffee worldwide, had a bad year. And so because of a small harvest, the price went up last year.
There's currently a 50% tariff on the U.S. largest supplier, Brazil. Pearson says several factors are playing into the increased prices of coffee, including supply and demand and the vulnerability of growing coffee due to various weather conditions. A bipartisan No Coffee Tax Act has been introduced in the House to try to repeal the 50% tariff on Brazil to hopefully bring down the price of coffee. Two executions will be carried out today. Texas will give a lethal injection to a 35-year-old Blaine Milam for killing a 13-month-old child in 2008 during a so-called exorcism. And Alabama set to execute a 50-year-old Jeffrey West using nitrogen gas. West is on death row for murdering a gas station employee during a robbery in 1997. If all goes well today, as planned, it will be the fifth double execution in the U.S. this year. An Iowa woman has been found guilty of murder after the dead body of her ex was discovered in the backseat of her car. Prosecutors say 32-year-old Margot Lewis traveled to Minneapolis in June of last year and killed her former romantic partner, Liara Tsai. Police say after the murder, Lewis crashed Tsai's stolen vehicle where they found the body in the backseat. Lewis will be sentenced in November. The Cleveland Clinic is highlighting how the risk of getting Alzheimer's disease can be reduced with exercise.
September is World Alzheimer's Month, and Dr. Dylan Wint is a neurologist at the Cleveland Clinic and says there's strong evidence showing that those who exercise regularly are less likely to develop cognitive decline. He recommends people do at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic activity each week. That includes walking, running, cycling, and doing chores. The doctor adds that the Mediterranean diet and the MIND diet appear to be effective in preventing cognitive decline. I'm Lisa Taylor.
American shoppers are pointing at the cost of groceries as being a major source of stress in their life. That's the sentiment coming from data from the Consumer Price Index showing grocery prices rising 0.6% from July to August, marking the steepest one-month gain in roughly 3 years. Groceries are now 2.7% higher than a year ago and up about 30% from before the pandemic.
WBSM Sports.
Sox beat the Blue Jays 7-1 yesterday. One more game with the two teams tonight in Toronto. First pitch, 7:07.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Cloudy with rain today, lower 70s. Staying muggy tonight, 65 with clouds. Scattered showers again tomorrow, upper 70s. Partly sunny on Saturday. Still more clouds, though, 73. And more clouds for Sunday, 71. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app.
This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
I get that Rockwell was trying to be relatable there in that song. He's just an average guy who works 9 to 5. Yeah, he was the son of Berry Gordy, the founder of Motown Records. And by the time he was born, Motown was already well on its way to becoming a musical powerhouse. So I don't think he ever really worked 9 to 5. I mean, not everybody can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a song and have Michael Jackson, the biggest star in the world at the time, sing on my song. But it still only really turned out to be his only hit. Rockwell was a one-hit wonder. He only had one other top 40 single, and it was called Obscene Phone Caller. So you would have thought that would have done better, right? Just by the name alone. 508-996-0500. It is One Hit Wonder Day, so we'll play a bunch of those today. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
Good, thanks. I don't know. You know, I turned the radio on, and I know I've been hearing you talk about ICE and other things, but I'm sure you saw, which kind of really, like, threw me off guard on Facebook. I don't know if it was New Bedford Guide that posted the story about Brandon Woods.
I think it was New Bedford Light had a big piece on it.
Yeah, that was, that's really something. You know, I mean, I know that the Brandon Woods in Dartmouth had issues years ago about an elderly person being killed there by another in-house patient. But the one over there on County Street, I'm really baffled by that one because my mom, she was there probably about 15 years ago. And, you know, I have to tell you, I mean, unless something has drastically changed at that one compared to a lot of the other nursing homes my mom had been in, it was quite a nice place. I mean, the people that worked there, they were very attentive. It was like a very homey feeling. It was clean. My mom used to say that the food, you know, was, I mean, it was not, you know, oh my God, good, but it was better than a lot of other places. So that's really a sad situation when you look at that, how it's ranked. In the state of Massachusetts as being, you know, one of the worst ones around. I really hope that somebody, you know, something changes of that. I know nursing homes, you know, in general are not good. And believe me, like I said, I was taken back by that because my mom was in one that's in the way north end of New Bedford, which I'm not going to mention. And I mean, that place was a nightmare. So, you know, I just wanted to touch upon that as far as that story. I'm glad that was brought to light and posted for people to see. And anyway,
I was going to say, too, as I was reading it, what struck me is that it wasn't so much about, you know, that that the people working there didn't care about these things. It's that institutionally they didn't have policies in place to deal with these things. Which is surprising. You would think that you'd be anticipating the possibility of some of these situations.
Well, I mean, aren't they? Again, I don't know. You know, like everything with the state being checked on and making sure that all these places follow rules and regulations, whether it's nursing home, daycares, et cetera.
I mean, they've been health. It says here in the story they've been health inspected in each of the last 2 years. They were there in November 2024, and then they were there in August of 2023. So they've, at least from a health wise, you know, Board of Health perspective, they've been in there.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know how a lot of that wasn't brought to light or taken care of, but it should be interesting to see what happens with that. But anyway, I just called about that. You have a good day, Chuck.
You as well. Okay. Take care. And if you want to read that story for yourself and read the report, the inspection report, the report on all of this, you can read that at newbedfordlight.org. But it's not just, you know, in this particular case, there was physical and sexual abuse going on from other patients there, other residents there, I should say, that wasn't properly addressed, according to this, and that there was also issues of neglect. They've been fined $464,490, the largest single fine for a Massachusetts nursing home in at least 3 years, according to the New Bedford Light. And they've received more citations in the last inspection cycle than 99.5% of nursing homes in the country. And this is reading from Grace Ferguson's piece here at newbedfordlight.org. According to the inspection report, one resident of the dementia unit would, quote, wander into female residents' room, stand at their bedside watching them, and fondle his or her genitals. The inspection also uncovered instances of residents hitting each other, which the nursing home mostly didn't report. And they get into exactly some of these situations without naming any names of the residents. But this particular person, who is not identified as male or female, only as resident number 77, says that of the 44 citations the nursing home received in the most recent inspection, 10 were linked to the way it responded to this particular person's inappropriate behaviors. Well, this resident lived on the first floor of the facility. They, quote, would stand outside women's rooms and egg them on verbally and with sexually inappropriate gestures. And this person exhibited, quote, hypersexual behaviors. Let's take one more phone call here before I get to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Tim.
Morning.
What were you saying about Mark Levine?
I was using that as an example. I was talking about the New Bedford police had put out a page of frequently asked questions regarding its role in helping with ICE. And so I was using Mark Levine as like an allegory. So talking about how, you know, ICE's job is something that is not the New Bedford police's job. They only kind of support that. And same thing like with Mark Levin. I don't have a hand in how he runs his show, but if they need me to do some things on this end, I do it for them, that kind of thing.
Oh, all right. About the nursing homes, which one is it that's in the Bedford Light? Is it, there's two of them. There's one way down.
This is
Brandon Woods.
This is the one in New Bedford on County Street.
I used to work there, so I can say firsthand, and I've been in a lot of nursing homes and worked in more than one. The one I worked in, too, is closed now. It's on near Common Park. You know which one I mean?
I'm not familiar, no.
No, because you don't know this area that good. But anyway, that one's all folded up, but they are terrible. Even the one that was way up north, because my mother was in that one. And every time, what happens is every time you leave, they act okay when you're there. And when you leave, all hell breaks loose. You know, I've witnessed people on the falling out of the chairs for more than 10 minutes laying there. Nobody coming to their assistance. It's really bad. I don't know. It's scary to end up in one of them, you know.
Well, I mean, I know when I was younger, when I was a kid, my aunt worked in one as the housekeeper. And I used to go at the end of the day with my grandfather to go pick her up because she didn't drive. And I'd go in there and kind of help her finish up her work. And years later, I was like, wait a minute, why were they just letting this random kid come in and be involved in this? Like, I wasn't screened or anything to be going into patients' rooms and everything. It's one thing if you're a kid and you're going in there to visit a relative, but I'm going in there with when they've got people, you know, undressed and everything. And I was like, how is this not, somebody doesn't step forward and say, hey, the kid can wait in the car.
Oh, guess what else they have, too? I won't say where, but I've witnessed the men washing up women. Now, how many times have you heard of them getting raped in a nursing home, too? I remember reading that plenty.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't paid much attention to it. If I did see it, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, I remember that distinctly. I don't think a man should be... The men should take care of the men, orderlies, but they're short staffed.
Yeah, I was going to say, what happens if they don't have anybody? Then you can't let them go unwashed.
Yeah, you know, I did it plenty, and I did it at that one you're talking about. That some of them were mean, very mean to you, but you just overlook it. Some of the clients, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, you just overlook it. But I mean, if it's the other way around, and it goes on, believe you me, something should be done about it. Somebody should advocate for that. One of these, maybe these city councilors, you think that they could do that?
Well, they certainly could. They certainly could have a voice in this and call in the management and have them speak to them about it. But it seems like the state's cracking down on them here.
Oh, they are coming in.
Well, they just got $464,490 in a single fine.
Well, good. Maybe they'll shape up. Do they own the one down the way down the south end too?
It says here they have one in New Bedford and Dartmouth.
And under the same name?
They have 8 other facilities. Let's see. I can click on this link and see what it tells me.
You know, Tim, the other one kept changing its name, the one that's far up north.
Yeah, the only ones here is Brandon Woods of New Bedford and Brandon Woods of Dartmouth. The rest are in Worcester and Tewksbury and Milford.
Oh, they do own that. That's Dartmouth, South Dartmouth.
Okay.
The one way down. That's where the one murdered the other one.
Yes.
And there's been a recent murder, not around here, but in a nursing home. And the family's bringing a lawsuit. That was on the ABC News about a month ago.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's not around here, though.
Well, I got to hold you there. I got to take my break here. I'm running late for it.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
You have a great day.
Bye-bye. You too.
And we'll be right back. 508-996-0500.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
That is Katrina and the Waves here on One Hit Wonder Day, Walking on Sunshine. And if you would like to be walking on some sunshine, or at least using it to power your home, reach out to Isaacson Solar, because they will come to your home and they will take a look around. They'll tell you if you're a good fit for solar, whether it be panels on the roof or whether it's panels in the yard, on the garage. Maybe they're going to build you a structure like a carport or a solar pavilion. There's a lot of different ways they can incorporate solar into your property, and they'll explain to you how it all works, how you'll save money, how to claim those tax credits that expire at the end of this year, and how soon you can expect to be getting paid by the electric company. So they can sit down and talk with you about all of it, and if you're not a good fit for solar, that's okay. They're happy to still come out and give you all the answers to your questions. But if you are a good fit, they'll be your partner in solar, because they are a local company that are based in Fall River, and they're not just coming in here installing panels and moving to another city, and they're here to stay. They're here to be your partner in solar. So you can set up the appointment by going to isaacsonsolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, isaacsonsolar.com. And I know I'm going to get people, as I'm playing these one-hit wonders, who are going to say, well, that group had another hit. This song came in like number 47 back in, come on. Name another Katrina and the Waves song. Yeah, you can go and Google it to try to catch me and be like, oh, well, they had another hit in the UK. No, come on. Katrina and the Waves, one hit wonder. So anyway, I got one more break I got to get in here before the end of the hour. And I'm playing these one hit wonders because it is National One Hit Wonder Day. I'll probably focus on 80s and 90s ones, but sometime we could just do a whole show of just a single decade. Sometimes even just a single year. And sometimes you wonder, hey, how did that song do so well? And then we never heard from them again. Sometimes people only got one good one in them. Pretty sure I had one good show in me, and now you're just stuck with me after that. So I don't remember which one it was, but there must have been one. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. It's getting lighter outside and the fog is starting to break a little bit, but it's still pretty misty out there. We're going to have morning rain that'll start to clear in the afternoon. So just keep that in mind if you're heading out the door. You're going to need a